This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right is John. And today we're going to be talking about a really weird statement that you'll hear in Christian circles. People will say, I'm walking with God, or I'm walking with Jesus. And what does that actually mean? What does it actually entail to walk with Jesus in real life? And so that's what we're going to be discussing today. But as we start, what are some of the great walks that you guys have ever had or tried to have with someone, or why did you even take the walk?
I had a different story in mind, and now that you've got us live, it just reminded me of walking the mile in high school. You know, in gym class, I don't know if you guys had to do that. Not that mile. No. We were
supposed to run.
Well, that's my point. Oh. It'd be time to run. And I can remember this. Last week, Travis and I were talking about another moral failure of mine in junior high. This one, we had to run the mile, and me and my lazy friends, and I'll speak for myself, I was a fat kid.
You were just punk rock.
Well, we slowly jogged until we got to the bushes, and then we would just wait. We had a track, you know, and we would run to the other side of the track from where the coach was, and we would just hide behind the bushes until enough time passed, and we'd come out and, okay, man, this has been tough, and then, yeah, it was bad. But
it just depends how you look at it.
Yeah, walking the mile. Yep.
When we lived in Colorado, there was a cool trail that was just down. We lived on kind of a cul-de-sac. It was really just a dead end. They're like, nope, we're not going here with the road. And so it was just a spot where you could jump on a trail. It was pretty awesome because you could go in there. You could go as long as you want, but if you just took this little path that was like 20 minutes, you went by some little waterfalls and went over some bridges and stuff. And
that's cool.
Jovi was like 3 or 4 at the time, and she loved to just go there and sit on the little bridge and chuck rocks. And it was cool because we just got to hang out and visit and just spend some time together.
Yeah, one of my favorite walks was with this girl, and she...
Is she currently with you in relationship?
I was with this girl, and we were walking along, and I began to tell a story as we walked around this pond about how my college buddies and I, they had never tasted duck before. And I said, well, let's get one. And so we went in, and one guy had 2 golf clubs, and he had them held out, and we got him kind of pinned in. And I grabbed one, and I snuck through the bushes and grabbed one, and I twisted it really quick, and the head actually popped off into my hand.
Oh, no.
Then these really city boys, it started swimming at them, and they started screaming.
Oh, the headless duck.
The headless duck.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And so then we cooked it up. They had their first taste of duck, and they liked it. So I was telling this girl this story as we were walking along, and she happened to be a vegetarian.
Oh, no.
Ooh, oops.
Didn't understand hunting. Well, I don't know if that was really hunting. That was, well, it kind of was.
Kind of catch and release.
That's hunter-gatherer right there.
Kind of caveman hunting.
You eat duck.
Yeah. And so anyway, she told me later on in our relationship, we started dating and then eventually got married, that she was very disturbed by that story and never wanted me to tell that story again. And so
She's come a long way.
She's come a long way. And I never told her that I wouldn't tell that story.
I
want to
see if
you
still got the skills.
You get the golf clubs and we'll go out. Well, you know, there's lots of places in the scripture where it'll talk about people that are walking with God. And so Enoch would be a person that is walking with God, or Noah was walking with God. He was righteous. And so as we think about just this idea of what in the world does that mean to walk with God, what does it require of us, and how do we do this? How would you unpack that statement of what does it mean to walk with God?
I think you take a look at Jesus and when he called the disciples to come along with him and follow him and leave everything that they had behind, it was this idea of actually like coming under his teaching. And so they started to live life with him and actually walk down the road with him. That was part of it. But they did life together. They ate meals together. They hung out together. And so when we think of walking with God, it's that point from where we give up control of our life and saying we're in the driver's seat, and it's like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust the good things that you have for my life. And I may not walk perfectly. I might find some potholes and some rocks that I trip and stumble over, but you're always striving towards something. Like when you go for a walk, usually there's a point that you're going to or you're going to return back to the place that you started from.
Yeah, I think maybe this is even a little bit of a step back from what you said, Travis, and it's implied, I think, in what you said, but just to be really specific, I think the first part of walking with him is knowing him, knowing who he is, knowing his character. And, you know, you said a little bit about this too, but I also think a lot about knowing, like looking for him. And, you know, it's an interesting thing that we say we walk with him. Cause I think it's more like we're following, we're walking, like he's leading the way. We're going with him. He's not like, hey, where are you going? Can I come with? That's not the picture there. So I think that's important to see too, that there's some surrender to where he's going if you're going to walk with him.
Yeah. I think when the Bible describes walking, it often refers to lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it means, you know, there's really two kingdoms that are at war within this world. One is the kingdom of God, the creator of the universe. And the Bible describes this. And then there's the kingdom of this world. And so when it's walking with God, it is, I am living in step with the Spirit of God, what he wants, what he not requires, but what he desires for us as humans, as the creator, knowing how we work, knowing how, what is best for us, walking, like a good father would tell, you know, his kids how to walk on a trail or don't go off the trail, walking in step with him in that. And so some of it is a lifestyle of walking with him, but again, it's, you have to know him. There's also this component of communication with him. And you see that from the very beginning of Scripture. Adam and Eve, they're meeting with God in the still or the quiet coolness of night, and they're talking with him. They're in relationship with him. There is a sharing of their heart with him. And there is guidance from him. And that is part of walking with God.
There's a safety component too. If you think about, you know, the many times in Scripture where this idea of walk with God comes into play, where this is written to a group of people where walking was your mode of transportation. Walking is the way that you got around. That was it. And so I think about protection too. If you're walking with God, you've got safety because of who's with you. And I think that's a component of it too.
There's also safety in the destination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a journey implied in this too. You know, walking was the mode of transportation. It's how you got from one place to the next. And so walking with God is God going with you as you go to the next thing, as you continue to progress, as you continue to grow in life. It's a destination.
Yeah. And the safety point is a good part of this conversation to point out, because I think when I walk with my kids, especially when they're little and we're by a road, I stand on the side of the road. They hold my hand to the inside of the sidewalk, and that's because it's a protective thing for them. Mm-hmm. And I've talked with my boys about this, like one day you're going to be the guy that's standing by the side of the road. And the reason for that is protection, and it's teaching. And so when we walk with somebody, you know, my wife's a walker, and if she's walking with one of her friends, it's never a quiet time. And they're just talking about life and, yeah. and sharing their hearts and their joys and their struggles and just whatever they have on their minds at that point. And I think it's a relationship builder. It's putting up boundaries of protection and safety, and the destination that you're going to, or you're getting, you know, exercise along the way. There's that training component in some regard to your body and the exercise yeah. that you get from it too.
Well, and that God knows, walking with God, walking with Jesus, that he knows the destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had the experience a few times since moving up here where we'll take our family out for a hike because there's lots of beautiful places to go up in the UP. And my three-year-old, you know, these guys know Ben, his favorite word is no, but Ben likes to be the guide sometimes when we go on these hikes. And surprisingly, he does not know the best. First of all, he doesn't know how to get where we're going, let alone where we're going. But he also takes the worst paths, you know. And so there's something about God being with us as a guide in that walk to the destination. He knows where we're going. He knows the safe trails. He knows, okay, if you go over there, you're probably going to slip. You know, there's yeah. something to that too.
And if you think of the father-child analogy, and God is our Heavenly Father, you can see danger ahead on the path too. Yeah. There was a time when I was in like elementary school and we went on this hike with my family, and I did the same thing. I was tearing off up the trail ahead and checking out the side routes that you could go to, and you know, my mom's like, don't go in there, you're gonna get poison ivy. But I cruised along. This is why I have a fear of snakes, because I was zipping along far ahead of everybody else, and I came across a rattlesnake in the middle of the trail, and it almost stepped on it, and it freaked me out for life.
We do not have rattlesnakes here, just so you know. Man, so you don't have to
believe that. Doesn't matter.
You know, one of the things I think about our culture, and I think some of the things that we all struggle with, is that we try to numb our lack of a relationship with God, this lack of taking walks with Him, by entertaining ourselves, by, you know, whatever that may be. And every generation, I think, has its own, you know, we have smart devices, as we just heard, John's going off, that distract us and pull us away. And we have, you know, a culture that is really in existential crisis. And it's in this place where we can't actually meet the need, and there's never enough to get us to the place where we actually need. And so it's not this really high churchy weird thing when people say that, even though it sounds like it. I think it's actually just a really practical thing that happens. One of the things that God has given us, we call it church. It's the gathering.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that God, as we walk with Him, is to love His people and to be connected to His people and to have a listening ear. He is always the giver of that truth. He is always the speaker of that truth. But it's often confirmed as we're sitting around hanging out in these gatherings with other people.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we're very committed to here at Evangel, and believe that it's extremely important that we should be a part of community. We get support, outside perspectives, wisdom, those kinds of things. And that is a wonderful part of walking with the Lord, is that you've got other people who are also walking as well.
I think it's also kind of a reminder. I think one of the encouragement is that Jesus is there. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about yeah. you. And I think that is, we need a kind of a daily reminder of mm-hmm. walking in, getting close, having those times of prayer and having those times of opening the Word of God and going, okay, God, what do you have to say to me? What do you want to speak into my life today? And sometimes it's an epiphany and you're like, whoa, that is amazing. Sometimes it's, you know, He's saying something today, so you learn it for 3 years from now. And, you know, but He's got to say the same thing over and over and over again till you get it, so you can actually live in what He wants you to live in that vein for, you know, 3 years down the road.
That makes me think of a guy that we all know that his email signature says, there's joy in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally true. Like, we can get lost, you know, whether it's a road trip, I do this horribly. Like, I just want to get there as fast as I can and get to the destination. But when you slow down, and which that's what happens when you take a walk, you're moving at a slower pace. There is joy in the journey, whether it's hanging out with somebody and talking to them along the way, or it's your spiritual journey with God. Like, you might go through some hard times, but like you said, God's trying to reveal something to you. He's trying to refine you and shape you and call you up.
Yeah, and I think what goes along with that sometimes, and what's hard, is when you're in a journey with Jesus, he often calls you, or sometimes calls you, away from the conversation of the world and into his conversation. And sometimes that's an unpopular conversation. It's an unpopular conversation with our hearts that, hey, this is actually my truth. This is actually what I'm saying. And so we'll try to negotiate with God. We'll try to say, oh, that's maybe somebody's interpretation. No, the Bible isn't impossible to read. It's actually somewhat straightforward. Yes, there are some things that are a little bit more difficult and a little bit more this way or that way. But John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. It may not feel pleasant in those moments where God calls you into something that none of your friends are doing, or it's just he's calling you out of something. Maybe it's an addiction, or maybe it's something else. And it doesn't feel good to come out of an addiction or come out of something that you're kind of you're desiring in this world. And yet he says, you know, in the Word of God, it says that would it be better for you to forfeit your soul to gain the whole world? And the world isn't worth that. Those desires aren't worth negating your relationship with God and to walk with him in this step-by-step life.
Yeah, John 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it's one that is a favorite, I think, because it challenges me so much. John 15, Jesus talks about being connected to him and abiding in him. And he uses this analogy of an orchard or a grapevine. And he talks about, you know, some things that might need to be removed to help that fruit grow healthier, to make the branches stronger, all these kinds of things. And it all comes down to being connected to the right source of nourishment. And in his you know, analogy there, it's being connected to him, being connected to God as the source of life, the source of hope, the source of peace. And he even says in verse 5 of that chapter that if we're not connected to him, he says we can do nothing. And it's interesting to me because I think sometimes we think, well, there's some things I can probably do without God, right? And Jesus says, no, if you're not connected to me, you can do nothing. And that's, but as I said, it's one of my favorites because it's a challenge, but it's true. We can't. We can try, but it won't go well for us.
And what I love about that is what it says in Psalm 119:105, or where it goes, I'm going to read that. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yeah. And so God is going to walk with us, and he's got the path that we're supposed to go on, the journey that we're heading towards. But he gives us illumination along the path, along the way. And he's not just sitting like, hey, you need to be connected to Jesus and just figure it out. No, you're going to be connected with Jesus. I'm going to show you the way to do this. I'm going to be with you there. I also think of Psalm 23. You know, even though you lead me through the shadow of the valley of death, I will be with you. Don't fear evil. Like, he's with us in those times, in those valley moments, in the depression, the anxiety, whatever it is. Like, we're not alone. It might feel alone, but he's got a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, connected to his son. You're going to go with him.
I think when I don't walk on a daily basis, I start to forget that he cares about me. Mm-hmm. I start to forget that he loves me. I start to forget that I'm a child of his. And that's part of it, is when you're walking on a daily basis, you start to realize some of those things, those promises that he holds to. You know, I remember going away to college and I didn't call my mama for 2 weeks. And I think it was offensive to her, number one. But it was almost like I'm like, I'm free, right? And yet then I realized I still needed my mama. Yeah. And it was this separation that was healthy. But it was also, I still needed to talk to her. I still needed to have that. And the same is with God, I think, and more so with God, that daily walk with him, yeah. You start to get disconnected. You start to forget who you are. You start to forget that you're deeply loved and cared. And, you know, there are things that happen in life that are hard. There are joys that happen, and to be able to be in the midst of a relationship where you can just go running to the Heavenly Father, that's a sweet spot to be. But that takes a daily walk.
Yeah. Well, I can tell when I miss my daily devotion time, which for me looks like reading the Bible and praying. If I miss that, I start to feel anxiety. And this is, you know, in the last few years, I've started to recognize, oh, why am I feeling anxious? Oh, well, because I skipped out. I'm walking in the dark right now. I'm getting away from that light that's on the path. And, you know, that's kind of how I've been seeing it play out when I am not walking with him, is it's starting to feel that, wow, I'm on my own right now, that, you know, that peace and that joy, that hope, it starts to kind of fade away as I, you know, forget to walk with him.
Yeah. You know, does he really love me? Does he really care?
Yeah. What's my value?
Does he really see me?
Yeah.
Does he really know me? Right. Like, you start to have these doubts that are pretty heavy. If you were to just try to encourage in our last words here, somebody who's like, you know, I just feel disconnected right now. I feel like I don't even know how to take that first step with Jesus. And what would you say would be the most helpful thing, just as practical as you can be, to take a step with Jesus this morning?
I think just opening up God's Word. The book of Mark is a great place to start, and just you see the life of Christ, you see what he's given up, what he sacrificed for you, and it doesn't have to be the whole book. You read a little bit, you read some of God's truth, and when it speaks right to your heart, dwell on that. Hit on that place, like let that be some place that you focus on your mind. Or if you're just feeling totally disconnected, pray. Ask for God to start that process of working in your heart.
And, you know, for those who are maybe new to it, or maybe you're in a really tough place and you don't know what to say, prayer can be sitting down and saying, God, please speak to me, and just being quiet. In our culture now, quiet is becoming more and more of a powerful thing, I think, because it's harder to come by. Because our normal rhythms and routines are a lot of inputs, a lot of noise, and so that could be what it looks like.
With that said, how would you respond to somebody that said, you know, I'm just too busy to read my Bible and pray? And what would you say to somebody who said, hey, I'm just too busy to pray?
This sounds harsh maybe, but I've said it before to people, usually people I know well, but you're too busy not to. Meaning this is something that will improve your experience of your busy, you know, if you got things to do, cause that's why you're busy. It's going to improve how you operate in those things and how you experience those things. So, I mean, again, it sounds harsh maybe, or overly simplistic, but, you know, it's one of those things where I would say you can't afford, because you're busy, you can't afford to not have that time. I mean, are you too busy to eat? Are you too busy to nourish yourself physically? Well, no, we figure that stuff out. Even if we're putting junk food in, right? We figure it out.
One of the things that we do in premarital counseling is like a time evaluation, and the couples will sit down and kind of schedule out what their typical day is. And it's an exercise for figuring out, like, are you committing enough time to the relationship? So they recognize I'm playing video games for 3 hours a day and I'm going with my buddies fishing for another two. Oh, that's why my fiance thinks that we're disconnected. So I think if I know the person well, I'm going to challenge them. What are your priorities? If God is something that you say is a priority in your life, do that evaluation. Look at where you're spending your time, and now say that you can't spend 5 minutes in prayer.
Great. Yeah, I think the one thing that I would add to all of that is God in the center of all things. It doesn't matter. You can pray at work. Mm-hmm. We all have, you know, how many times are you on Facebook every day at work, or how many times are you on the marketplace looking for something? Yeah. There is time in your schedule, and there's time to sit down and just take even a short walk is pretty amazing. I remember during COVID, You know, everyone was disconnected from everyone else. And I remember this lady coming over to our house, and, you know, COVID's still in full action, and her and my wife were walking on separate sides of the street, and we live on Bremer Road, so there's not a lot of cars. And they were walking far apart from each other, but they're still talking. And I think that was just kind of a picture of, like, you figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want relationship, you figure it out. And I think that's true with our relationship with God. Well, folks, I am going on sabbatical. I'm going to be gone for about 12 weeks, and these guys are going to hold down the fort and be coming at you every week. And so there will only be two of us for a while, and maybe they'll bring on some guests to speak.
Yeah, we might
speak
bring
also.
Some people in here.
And so, but until August, middle of August, I will talk to you then. This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you guys want to catch up any of our latest podcast episodes, or you've got some topics or ideas that you'd like us to chat about, feel free to email those in, travis@evangelup.org. You can find us on your Apple or Google devices if you search out Evangel Houghton Podcast, or you can always find those on our website, evangelup.org as well, and we'll catch up with you guys next week.